Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, Daniel Foster, news editor at National Review Online, and for Jim Garrity again today. And Dan, we've got some good news. It's a little bit vague, but we'll take it nonetheless. These national polls of presidential campaigns don't necessarily tell the story because ultimately it's the Electoral College that tells you who won the election, but it can certainly talk about momentum and where the race in general stands. And according to Rasmussen, Mitt Romney, after all of this supposed bludgeoning by these other Republicans who won't get out of the race, is leading President Obama by 2 points nationally, 47-45. And Obama is only 2 points ahead of Rick Santorum, who everybody has basically declared can't get the nomination at this point. So even a guy who has no chance is only within the margin of error against the president. And perhaps the best news of all is that the president, regardless of which candidate he's up against, is only in the mid-40s.
Yeah, I think we started out this campaign season thinking that it was the president's election to lose. We were very optimistic coming out of 2010. And then we kind of the pendulum swung all the way over to we're doomed. We've got this long, drawn-out primary. Romney's a terrible candidate. We're doomed. It's over before it began. I certainly felt that way on and off for a few days there in the midst of the debate season. But now I think the good news that we should take from this Rasmussen poll, and there are other polls similar to it, is that it's a wide-open race, that the outcome has not been determined. And I'll say this for Romney, looking at his Wisconsin victory speech at his press conference yesterday, his conference with the News Editors Association there, and an interview I just read this morning in which he apparently quoted the movie Oh Brother, Where Art Thou at length, which is his favorite movie and one of mine as well. I think Romney, we're seeing a Romney that's much more comfortable, much more fluid, quicker with a joke. He made a actually funny comment about his opponents dropping out of the race yesterday at his press appearance. He's looking like he might be a better general election candidate than a primary candidate, which I think it can only be a good thing.
Well, there's obviously a long way to go, and we'll see what the polls look like state to state. Some of those key states right now, he's behind the president, but we'll find out as time goes on. And assuming there is at least, for the large part, a coalescing around Romney, I'm sure those numbers will improve, and let's hope that they do. On to a martini number two now, and Dan, for months and really several years now, rockets fired from Gaza into Israel have become a routine experience, unfortunately, for the Israelis living in that region. The international community, quote-unquote, always has a big yawn for that, unless, of course, Israel actually tries to respond. And then, of course, there's a massive outrage. Now, a rocket being fired from Sinai into southern Israel right during the Passover season. And this is, once again, more evidence that the change of the guard in Egypt, which the Obama administration was so excited about, with the Muslim Brotherhood now reneging on its election promises not to run a presidential candidate. It looks like, I don't know if you want to call it peace, but at least stability between Israel and Egypt is crumbling more and more as we go along, and that can only be bad.
Yeah, you have to remember that a lot of the context for the American left, especially their idea that Israel is this mega power in the Middle East and is not in any existential threat and therefore has the luxury of taking the heaps of abuse piled upon it by its Arab neighbors. A lot of that context is determined by its relative peace on its southern and, to an extent, its southeastern flanks with the peace treaty with Egypt and with relative peace with Jordan. That stability over the last couple of decades has been a big part of Israel's stability and, in turn, a part of the perception of its omnipotence in the region. And we're seeing how fragile that is now with the prospect of the Muslim Brotherhood, coming into play in Egypt. And it's also, it's not a question with an easy answer. It harkens back to the Mubarak crisis and his ultimate overthrow. On the one hand, the United States doesn't want to be seen bending over backwards to prop up strongmen. On the other hand, Israel's security is of paramount concern in that region. And we knew that this could be one consequence of Mubarak being overthrown, is the resurging influence of Islamism in Egypt and it moving from being a sort of terror presence to being the quasi-legitimate governing body there. It's cause for concern.
Yeah, and there's been zero condemnation of this attack or any of the other escalating and troubling signs of a radical Egypt coming onto the scene from this administration, perhaps because they don't want to admit that they made any sort of mistake during the whole Arab Spring process in Egypt early last year or some other reason. But for whatever the explanation is, there has been zero condemnation of this whatsoever. So that's not good either. On to martini number three now and some much-needed levity following the number two martini, Dan. The Republican National Committee has some dedicated folks because they watch Obama speeches when they really don't have to, but they came up with a very interesting web video of the president commenting on last year's budget passed by House Republicans and authored primarily by Paul Ryan, and this year's House Republican budget authored primarily by Paul Ryan. And let's just see if we can pick out some of the common phraseologies, as this video here points out.
Who are these 50 million Americans? Who are these Americans? Many are somebody's grandparents. Many are someone's grandparents who wouldn't be able to afford nursing home care, who without Medicaid won't be able to afford nursing home care. Many are poor children. Many are poor children. Some are middle-class families who have children with autism or Down syndrome. Some are middle-class families who have children with autism or Down syndrome. Some of these kids with disabilities are so severe that they require 24-hour care. Some are kids with disabilities so severe that they require 24-hour care. Put simply, it ends Medicare as we know it, and it will ultimately end Medicare as we know it.
Now, Dan, for an administration that has no new ideas and most of their original ideas didn't work well, if you're going to attack the other side as your main exercise and you want to solve everything with a speech, it would probably be a little more convincing if you didn't recycle the same speech. I was particularly amused by the fact that the president stumbled in the exact same spots year after year.
Yeah, the lies got trapped in his throat, I guess. the funny thing about this is that it's not the same budget either. I mean, look, we're fans of this Paul Ryan budget. We were fans of the last one. This budget doesn't go quite as far on entitlement reform as the last one did, which probably makes it slightly more politically feasible, if slightly less oriented towards solving the actual problem. But just look at it this way. If you extrapolate this over the next, you know, say Obama, heaven forbid, gets reelected, extrapolate this trend over the next 5 years, by 2016, Paul Ryan's budget's going to look like Obama's 2010 budget, and Obama's still going to be using the same crap to describe it. I mean, he could by 2016, you could have Paul Ryan expanding Medicare. I'm not saying he's going to, but you could have Paul Ryan expanding Medicare, and Obama's going to be saying he's ending Medicare as we know it. So yeah, it's just not responsive. As we said in our editorial on this the other day, Paul Ryan has a budget, and the president has a tantrum. He doesn't have a plan to solve this problem, so all he can do is attack a straw man version of Paul Ryan's budget. It's sad.
On that note, the National Review offices are closed for Good Friday on Friday, so this will be our last podcast for the week. Dan, have a wonderful Easter. Thanks for filling in for Jim this week, and we will talk to you later.
No problem. Good to talk to you as always.
Dan Foster is the news editor at National Review Online. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Jim Garrity will be back with me on Monday for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.